All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It's my great pleasure to be here. I'm really happy to be in New Zealand. It's fantastic to be here. Thanks very much for the invitation. It's really cool. Lovely country. I want to come back some more, and I love mountaineering and stuff. I want to get down to your South Island and do some stuff down there. So, yeah, it's a real privilege to be here. I work out of the UK, so, yeah, it took me quite a long time to get here for this. And I must admit, I'm feeling a little bit sort of spaced out at the minute. So if I suddenly stop and start, you know, staring into the middle distance, you come and just nudge me or something, I'm sure I'll get back on track. I work in UK as a tech evangelist. Some of you may know me from videos on Channel 9. I do a lot of, like, training videos for every release of Windows Phone that's come out. I've done the whole series of developer training videos, the Jumpstart, which on Channel 9, and MVA courses. Any of you done any of those? Suffer through them? You feel great. Excellent. I work closely with the phone team, and this talk is all about the main best new feature that came out of Windows Phone 8.1. So we're going to talk about, just give an overview of Universal Apps, what it actually is from a technical point of view, how we got to where we are now and what it gives us. What Universal Apps is really all about is we talk about a universal app, but actually it's a framework within Visual Studio for easily creating apps that run on your tablet and run on your phone. And the key to that is sharing a real high percentage of all the code and the assets and that kind of stuff. There's some tips and tricks around doing that most effectively, so I'm going to go through that. And part of that is code sharing techniques. So we've got all this stuff that's shared between two. In some certain circumstances, you're going to want to do something that's slightly different on the phone you want to do on the tablet. So how do we do that kind of thing? I'm going to look at sharing XAML pages. So one key message I wanted you to go away from this session is that you can share XAML, but actually a lot of the time that's not really what you want to do, because what we really want to do is create apps that shine on a particular device. So you want them to really, really, you know, work well on there. And that means they are slightly different in the way you use a tablet compared to a phone. So, you know, we want to respect that and give you the ability to create a UI that's appropriate for that device. And last but absolutely not least, talking about sharing state between your apps. You know, it's great having these apps that you've built easily for the phone and the tablet, but what's not so great is if a user starts something on the phone version of your app, and then they pick up their tablet, and it knows nothing whatsoever about the information you've entered on the other one. So you need to share stuff between them, have that continuous experience, so that you can start something on one device, and then put it down and pick another one up, and you're picking up exactly where you left off. So I'll talk a little bit about how you do that. All right, let's set the scene and say, you know, what are these universal apps all about? So back when we released Windows Phone 8.0, what we did there really was, most of the work around 8.0 was foundations. It was fixing the foundations of the phone platform. We ripped the old operating system out, which was a Windows CE-based operating system. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely great for, you know, battery-powered handheld devices. Great operating system. But it wasn't the same as the Windows NT kernel-based operating, the big Windows. So what we did with Windows Phone 8.0 was we ripped out Windows CE and we replaced it with the Windows NT kernel. So right down now at the heart of the OS, it's exactly the same between your tablet and the phone. Now, what we didn't do so much of in Windows Phone 8 was converge the developer platform. So we kind of, you know, it was fixing the foundations, getting ready for what we've got today. So this, what you're looking at here, is the sort of red egg represents the Windows runtime APIs that we had available on Windows Phone 8.0. And there weren't many. It was like Windows.storage, there was a bit of in-app purchase, some stuff about sensors, that kind of stuff. So that was the red stuff that we had there. And the big blue circle represents the WinRT for big Windows, for Windows 8 store apps. Now, what we did when we got to Windows Phone 8.1 is this happened. So now we've got a massive convergence. Practically all of the WinRT API set is available on Windows Phone 8.1. And it's available whether you're programming in Windows Phone Silverlight XAML or WinRT XAML, which are slightly different. But you can still access all of those WinRT APIs. So this is where the convergence really gives us this ability to share loads of code, write the code once and have it running on both platforms, and it just works. They're not completely converged because there are a few edge cases where stuff's a bit different. I'll come on to that a bit later on. But, you know, this tablet has some certain APIs that you don't want to have on phone, and similarly on the phone there's some stuff that you're not going to want on a tablet. So, but it's nearly converged. We're talking about well over 90% of the API surface is exactly the same. So this is awesome. So in terms of what this means as the apps platform, this is what we're using for building native apps today for what we're now calling the Windows 8.1 app platform. We're not talking about Windows and Windows Phone anymore. It's just the Windows 8.1 app platform. Underneath it all, you've got WinRT. Sure, there's a C++, there's a subset of Win32 APIs that they can call from C++ as well. But in terms of your app platforms for building apps, we've got HTML. If HTML and JavaScript is your preferred tools, yeah, you can build absolute native apps using those technologies, using our WinJS library, which gives you access from JavaScript to all our controls and to the underlying platform and to the WinRT APIs. Then we've got two flavors of XAML. So you can code, you know, using XAML, this is WinRT XAML, and it's exactly common between Windows laptop PC platform and Windows Phone 8.1 platform. And you can do your logic in C++, or you can do it in C# or VB. Obviously, the managed code ones, you've got .NET for Windows Store under there. And then over on the right, we've still got Silverlight XAML. So Silverlight XAML is the, if you like, the traditional XAML-based app development technology we've used on Windows Phone up till now. So right from Windows Phone 7.0 through to 8.0, it was Silverlight XAML we were using. But running out of browser, of course, it was app technology. And we still got that. So these ones in red, this is available across big Windows and Windows Phone 8.1. And that one is only on Windows Phone, Silverlight XAML. So we can't build Silverlight XAML apps for running on the tablet. And that red area is where we're talking about universal apps. This is where all the commonality is. This is where you're all working with the same, not only the same WinRT APIs underneath for doing all the stuff you want to do, tiles, notifications, file storage, and networking, all the rest of it, but also the Windows runtime XAML as well. So again, at the UI presentation layer, it's all the same. So this is what we've got that allows us to do interesting things about universal apps. Now, so that's set the scene. I'm now actually going to sort of work through a worked example, a real example of building out a universal app. So how many of you have ever come across the fuel tracker sample? It's been with us a long time, yeah. So it's a favorite one for teaching technologies. There's been various flavors of it. It was, I think, back in Windows Phone 7.0, it was an example of a simple app, and then they used it to teach MVVM, and then there's even been a patterns and practices best engineering version of the fuel tracker. So it's an old favorite, so I'm using it again. So at the moment, this is just a Windows 8.1 app, and we'll just run it up on my machine, and you can see kind of what it works. It's very simple, and simple is good because it helps keep the message clear, so I've got a splash screen there. And when you run it the first time, you just get this information screen up on the tablet saying, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to create yourself a car. So we're going to create ourselves a car, and we can put the name of our vehicle in there, Jaguar, I wish, and the initial mileometer on it, odometer, and then we can pick ourselves a picture for it and go off and get a car, and that'll be my car. Yeah, again, in your dreams, buddy. So we've got a car. Now we've got a car, and now we can start doing fill-ups. And so the idea is now that every time you go to fill up with petrol, do you call it petrol here? Excellent. I do like it here. And you're right, you drive on the correct side of the road, and it's... and I turn the telly on, and it's like 14 channels of rugby. I love this place. It's just awesome. So, yeah, we can fill it up. Yeah, so you can fill it up. So are the All Blacks going to win next year, do you think? You would say, of course. I don't know, England are just coming up, you know. They've got a good side. We'll see. We had, let's go, 1,500, oh no, not 1,500 now, so we've done 500 miles, and it's probably used quite a lot of fuel, and you'll have to bear with me, unfortunately this is US dollars, but there we go. So we've added a fill-up, and now, so you can see your last fill-up there, and you get the history appearing on the right, and that's it. So it's basically three pages, This one's the summary page with all the information. As you can see, it's three kind of panes of information, if you like, but spread across, making the use of the tablet display. It's all nice. And then we've got the edit a car page, and we've got the add a fill-up page. And it's nice and simple. Now, so this definitely, we want to turn this into a, let's do a universal app version of this. Right. So at the moment, it's just, as you can see, I mean, one thing is now, you won't be surprised to know that I have prepared this with the idea of teaching it. So this app is very well structured. It's very nicely architected. It's a very clean MVVM architecture, which is good because it makes my life easy. So we've got views, we've got view models, we've got various data converters and there's images and all this kind of stuff. And it's all nicely structured. Now, what I want to do is create a phone version. So if you've already got a Windows 8.1 app, I mean, I could create a universal, there's templates for creating universal starter projects. But if you've already got an app and you want to extend it out to the other, you can simply right-click on it and say, add the other platform and add Windows Phone 8.1. You may not be able to read that. Oh, no, it's not so bad. It's going to add, tells you what it's going to do, add a new Windows Phone project and a new shared project. So now, when it's done that, we've now got in our solution, it's now expanded into three projects. And I use projects in inverted commas there. So we've actually got the Windows 8.1 head, call them heads, which hasn't changed, that's what it was before. The Windows Phone head, which has not got much in it. It's got an app.xaml, a main page, a manifest, and some default tiles, sort of logos and that sort of thing. And then we've got this, which is a project. It's the shared project. There's nothing in it at present. If you create a new project using the templates, there will be some stuff in there. Great. There we go. I'll just turn off notifications. Just a minute. Ah, thank you. Am I? Why am I on battery? Okay, I'll hide that for 1 hour. 59 minutes left. I'm not feeling good about that. Why is this not working? Ah, there you go. I couldn't see the switch behind it. It's this massive adapter thing. Okay, good. Right now we've got power and everything. No interruptions. Oh, it's good. Right, so we've got the shared project. Now, what goes in the shared project? Well, actually, everything that you want to be in both heads. So actually, with this existing app, we can take quite a lot of it, and we can drag it down. Not the assets, because that's the artwork just for the Windows 8 one, but we have common, there's some classes in there, value converters, we can have that one, design time stuff, images, services, view model, not the views, I'll come back to that. App.xaml, yeah, we'll have that. Constants, not this key, not the manifest, not the NuGet packages thing. That and that, all of that, we can drag that down and we can go and drop it on the shared project. And if I hold down the shift key, it will actually move it rather than copy it. Default is just to copy it. So we're moving everything out of the top one and it's now gone into the shared project. So now it's going to be automatically, it's in the phone project as well. Now I've put app.xaml in there, so I don't want two of them, so let's get rid of that. Don't need that main page either. Get rid of that. Let's just try build and see where we're up to so far. Lots of errors, of course, as you expect. It's missing some Gala soft. So that is that's JSON.NET. So we need to add. You need to add references into both the heads. So the shared code that needs JSON.NET. So I'm going to add into Windows Phone, manage NuGet packages. We're going to install into that. Oh, NewtonSoft is JSON.NET. Yeah, GalaSoft is MVVM Lite. Yes, absolutely right. Thank you. Yes. Actually, I need both of them. So I'll install JSON.NET, but then you're dead right. I need MVVM Lite, which is just this framework for helping you do MVVM in a nice, clean way. So we can find that one as well. and install that. Libraries only, I think. I don't want the whole shooting match, just the support libraries. So that's good. Let's just build again. And right, so all we've got, actually, we've got no compilation errors, apart from the fact that the code is referring to views. So I haven't done any views for the Windows Phone project. So let's do that. Now, what I'm going to do with this, it's a little bit artificial, but just as a good example of what the sort of things you can do. So we've got those three pages, right? This summary page, which was the opening, the launch, the main page, if you like. Then we've got car details page, which is the one for editing the car. And we've got fill-up page, which is for entering fill-ups. Now, actually, I'm going to, first of all, just simply take a copy of that. So I'm just going to drag it down, drop it on the shared. Because I'm going to share the two simple ones. So I'm going to share the fill-up car details page and the fill-up page, but I don't want summary page down there. So that is good. And then back up here, I don't want that. And I don't want that in there, because they're now in the shared. So I've got a unique summary page for Windows 8. And I need a similar thing. I need a summary page in my phone project. I'm going to start with, just because it's easier, start with the Windows one. And then we're going to hack it around a bit to turn it into something that's appropriate for the phone. So this is where you started building out. And this is why I've chosen to create a unique view for my Windows and my phone, because they are different, and there's a different screen size, and I want the user experience to be perfect on that device. So in this case, I'm going to create a separate view. You could, you know, if you really wanted to make life hard for yourself, you could share all of it and do all sorts of wacky stuff with, well, I'm going to show you some of the techniques for sharing. Even on the simple views, there's stuff you have to do to make XAML pages look good on both if you're trying to share it. And really, there comes a point at which it's just not worth the effort of trying desperately hard to prove a point just to share everything where XAML is concerned. It's probably a good idea more to create separate views and keeping the view, if you, as long as you keep the view layer really thin, you're using good architecture, that's not too much of an overhead for you. So, what I want to do is, I'm going to keep the app bar. I still want those app bars. Completely works both on Windows and on the phone. Nothing changes there. I've got my data binding context. That stays the same. And then I've got my grid. I'll keep my children transitions. That's just animation support, that when the page displays, everything, there's subtle animations as it lays out. But what I will do is simply, I'm going to delete everything from the inside of this. This is not necessarily the easiest way of doing this, but it's quickest for a demo purposes. So I'm just going to leave, I've just got an empty grid, so nothing on my page at the moment. Now what I want to do is, so you remember on the Windows 8 one, we had three distinct kind of islands of information. That's an ideal candidate for on the phone using a pivot. So let's create ourselves a pivot. Pivot control. And inside that, we need three pivot items. Pivot item. And the header for the first one is going to be the car. And in a minute, we'll stick some stuff in here. I'm just going to copy that and create another one. And then the middle pane is going to be the last fill-up. And then the last one is the history of all the fill-ups that we've got. So, and then I want to build this out. And actually, the layout of each pane is pretty much the same as on the Windows one. So I'm going to go over here and basically steal the XAML. And it's completely compatible. So I can copy. I'm going to copy and paste it. This actually would be a good candidate for just building out as. Hang on, I just have to concentrate a minute. Yeah, here we go. Would be a good candidate for building maybe as user controls. So that's the first one. I'm going to stick that into there. So that's my content for my first pivot item. And then the second one is this guy. Copy that. And we'll paste that one into there. Okay. That's the last fill-up bit. And I could tweak it to make it look, actually it looks good straight out of the straight off without having to mod it, but obviously I've copied it so I could tweak it if I wanted to. And that one. And that can go into here. Right, let's just try and run this thing. Let's change the startup project from Windows 8.1 to Windows Phone. We're trying to run it on the emulator. And let's see if we manage to do that without introducing any errors. It's built, it's running. Oh, okay, we're good. We've got something up running. Nothing there at the minute, so I'm going to edit my car, and bang. Okay, so here's our first problem. So something not quite right. What this says is it's a XAML parse exception, and the problem is WinRT says it could not find a resource with the name, key, navigation, back button, normal style. Okay, so what has happened here is that it was going to one of those shared pages. In fact, what it was going to was the car details page, which is this guy down here. Car details page. And it's quite illuminating to... one of the nice things about shared XAML pages is they know in Visual Studio and in Blend, they've built in, they know about shared projects, and they know that these pages were running on both either the phone or on the tablet. So you can actually, there's a drop-down at the top here, you can say, okay, what does it look like on the tablet? Like that. Oh, look, hey, look, there's a back button, yeah? Which is, of course, which is what you expect on a big Windows XAML page. So there's a back button, here's our back button, and it's got a style on it of navigation back button normal style. Now, look what happens when we switch over to the phone view. Now, unfortunately, the style dictionaries, the resource dictionaries for the phone, this is one area where it's, you know, a new project isn't completely converged. Because, well, anyway, there would be no point for having a navigation back button normal style on the phone project because we're never going to have a navigation back button painted on the screen. Because on the phone, it's the hardware button on the bottom is the navigation back button. So we're not ever going to need one of those guys. So that's the problem there, is that we haven't got that style. So actually what I'm just going to do temporarily, we'll fix that later on because I want to talk a bit more about the problems and how we solve them. So I'm just going to comment that out. If I could figure out how. I've lost my toolbars. Oh my God. Really? Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Thank you very much. Good. And the other one has the same problem, so let's do that as well. Control-K, Control-C, and that's commented out. So now we should get past that problem. So we'll run it up again. And we can go to create ourselves a car. Yeah, hey, we're looking good. We've got the pages up. And we can put in our initial, there we go, 1,000. And I'm deliberately not going to choose a picture just yet, so I'm going to say yes, okay, there we go. Good, we're good on that. We've got no picture. Let's go and put a picture on. Choose a picture. Okay, and actually just down here, another exception. This one is an exception of type. System.exception occurred but was not handled. The request is not supported. That's a nice, meaningful WinRT exception message. We all know about, at least it's not a hex code. Sometimes you get from these things. But at least it says, the request is not supported. And the line it's stopped on is this. So this is the file open picker, which is an API that allows you to kind of go outside of the little sandbox, the local storage that your app is running in, and go and it allows the user to go and pick files that are in the kind of general area on the phone. Specifically, in this case, we're going off to the pictures library. We're going to allow them to pick a picture, and we've it's file open picker. You set a view mode. You set the filter on it. Say I'm interested in JPEGs or PNGs, and then you call openpicker.picksinglefileasync. Well. Yes, you do on Windows 8, but on Windows Phone, it's a slightly different usage, and I'll talk about that in a little bit in a moment. So we can't pick photos. There is also another problem with this as well, which is this. I'll just run it out once more. And we will go to the car page again. Well, let's go to a fill-up page. But then If I hit the back button here, because we don't actually, I've changed my mind, I don't want to enter a fill-up just yet. If I hit the back button, what will happen? It's a phone app. It'll go back to the previous page, won't it? Well, actually, and that wasn't what I intended to happen at all. I hit it too much. You hit it, and the app closed. So actually, there's something wrong there. It should have gone, one press on the back button, it should have just gone back to the summary page, but the app closed. So we've got a problem with our back key navigation handling as well. So you can see there are a few rough edges here that we need to kind of address. So it's not all plain sailing, but we have managed to copy the vast majority of the logic, all our view models and the type converters, and reuse most of the XAML. So it's been a pretty good story, but we've got a few little issues that we need to address. So I'm now going to switch back to the slides, and we'll talk a little bit more about those. Right. So, what's my clicker? Where is it? So that was an example of the kind of stuff you can do. So as you've seen, you know, this kind of this idea of a universal app, it's actually still two apps. We haven't really changed things really dramatically. But all that convergence around the APIs and the convergence around XAML makes the job of creating a cross our platform app much, much easier. Have any of you ever tried to build a Windows Phone 8 Silverlight and share code with Windows 8.1 WinRT? Yeah, we used to have a, I'll let you into a little secret here. So I went to Redmond, and when they were first presenting the new Windows Phone 8.1 platform, in early decks they were thinking of presenting to developers. They had a picture of, you know, a castle built out of Lego, which was supposed to be, you know, WinRT XAML, beautiful and very nice. And then they had a castle built out of, like, stickle bricks or something, which was Windows Phone Silverlight, which is still a castle, does the same thing, looks the same, you know, this sort of thing, but, of course, the bits don't fit together. So, yeah, they had a lot of commonality. There was a lot of, you know, it's .NET, after all, it's all C#, it's XAML, isn't it? How hard can this be? But actually, there was a lot of rough edges between the two platforms before, but all that's gone now, so we're in good shape. So it's still two apps, but it's now we can share loads of stuff. And the question is, how much of that can we share? So how much can we share? We're using a nice MVVM architecture. Definitely want to do that. It really makes life a lot easier. So we've got our views. How much of our XAML can we share? So I've already talked a little bit about this. Well, yeah, you could, you know, prove it. You could actually have apps that share all the XAML as well. But realistically, single page apps, you might get away with that. Simple stuff, yeah, sure. View models. Now, this is more interesting because here we've got no UI. So as long as you just design it properly, your object model, that thing that supports your app, this is really, yeah, you can share all of this, apart from the few little rough edges that we've already seen, those exceptions and things. So there's a few little things we have to address. But definitely we can share all that. And similarly with the data as well, yeah, we can share, you know, the data handling layer. It's all common stuff. It's all Windows.storage. It's all networking. It's all, you know, we can definitely share all that. So we're in pretty good shape for that. So underneath that, the view model and the model, that's all code. So we'll talk about that first, and then we'll come back to the XAML in a minute. So when we're talking about the code sharing, you've already seen that by default they give you this shared project, which is really just copy and paste into both of them. It's like everything that's in there is just duplicated. So if before you had this new project template and these shared projects, if you've ever done add as link, where you actually go and find a file that's in a common folder and you add a link to it rather than add a copy to it, that's all it is. It's just a new way of doing add as link. So, but you can, means you can stick everything into there, and then it's just essentially just becomes a part of each of the heads when it's compiled. The alternative to that, to the shared project, is to create class libraries. Now, we call them portable class libraries. Now, portable class libraries have been around for a little while, and they're very interesting. But they've actually now they were interesting in the past, but not terribly useful, and now they're actually really useful. So that's definitely something you can use as well. So digging a little bit into both of those. So this shared project, this is the sharing source. So everything that goes in there gets into both of them. So it doesn't compile to a DLL. It's just effectively, It's like partial classes. It merges it all into the head. So the head, the executable that is the compilation from your Windows 8.1 or your Windows Phone 8.1, includes all this stuff. And you can put anything in there. Classes, XAML pages, images, you know, data files, and your resources. Everything can go in there. So when you start building out more complex apps, you do find most of the stuff ends up in there. So it's pretty effective. But PCLs are nice, and you know, particularly if you want to have reusable libraries, or you just prefer working with different class libraries, then definitely we can use these as well. So this is just the same as if you built an app in the past, and you've built, you know, you've got a solution, and it contains a dozen projects, most of which are class libraries. Well, these are the new ones. In fact, when you add a class library to a universal project solution, PCL is the only option that's given you. PCL is the new generic class library. And the reason why it's suddenly become useful, rather than not terribly useful in the past, was actually that the kind of the problem with PCLs is that the more platforms you select, so you see these targets here, where you're ticking which targets you want this PCL to be compatible with. So it means you tick these checkboxes, and the compiler will enforce that any APIs that you then use in this class library, this PCL, are valid for the checked platforms. So that was kind of fine, except if you think about Windows Phone Silverlight 8, which is pure Silverlight.net, and Windows 8.1 store apps, which is pure WinRT, there's actually not a lot of compatibility there. So because you're checking incompatible platforms, you end up with the common denominator, which is not terribly much. Whereas now, with WinRT across both, you can actually do pretty much anything in a PCL that targets Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1. So it all of a sudden becomes very useful. So you can stick all stuff in there. Now, this is a compiled output, so you can't do platform-dependent stuff in there. Everything in there has to be generic. But it does support the WinRT APIs. One interesting thing about it, you can just leave it, the output for a PCL, you can leave it as a class library, and it just spits out a DLL, and everything works for your universal apps. But equally, if you're creating stuff that's a bit more generic, and you want it to be available to WinJS apps as well, JavaScript, or to C++, all you have to do is go into the output type on the library tab in the properties and check Windows Runtime Component. And that will spit out a .winmd then, and then anything that's any classes and methods that are in that PCL will be accessible from your JavaScript and C++. But if you're not going to do that, you don't need to bother. I mean, it's just a simple drop-down box anyway. So, right. So, again, just the code-sharing architecture. So all of this stuff is going to work much better for you if you do have a real nice separation between your views and everything else. So data binding, obviously, view models, and data binding to those view models, maybe use commanding. Actually, I'm not particularly, some people get terribly anal about commanding, so you're not allowed to have any logic in the code behind for your views. And I'm sorry, but I don't see a problem with having an event handler that then calls a method on your view model. It's like, what's the difference? It's the same. But if you're one of those who gets upset about that, that's fine. You know, we're a broad church, whatever. But yeah, you're going to really make life easier for yourself if you're using nice, clean MVVM. So just a little bit on the PCLs. Yeah. So this is the same thing, but I can now add to my solution. Add a new project. And we can choose in Universal Apps, there's a Universal Apps section, there is class library. So that's the only class library you can do, which is a portable for Universal Apps. And it's stored the general thing. There is no other option. So that's the one we're going to have. And in it, it's just got a class. But if you go into properties, you see this is where you can change the targets. So if Xamarin uses PCLs a lot as well. I've got the Xamarin tools on here. So you can check Xamarin, Android, and iOS. Or you can choose Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone Silverlight 8.1, which doesn't actually reduce the target area very much because Windows Phone Silverlight 8.1 can also access all the WinRT APIs. But yeah, you can just pick and choose, and you can, in the Windows Phone, you can choose Windows Phone Silverlight 8, which really does, if you check that, then it really will reduce the number of APIs you can use in there, because there's like only this tiny subset of WinRT that's available for Windows Phone 8. So you just choose your targets there, and you know, and that's the way it goes, really. So, and over on the on the library thing, this is where you can choose whether it's going to be a class library or Windows runtime component, and then you simply add references to that, so you can stick all sorts of things in there. Now I'll just remove that again. Now what I've actually done with I've refactored in this version, so it's a step on from the one I did before. So I've taken some of the stuff that's in the shared project, and I've stuck it into a PCL. It's my generic services. So when I build MVVM apps, a lot of the things that the VMs want to do are things like cause a navigation. So I have a navigation service. Or they might want to do some serialization. So I have a serialization service. So I have this. In fact, when I think of MVVM, it's more MVVM plus services. So the services tend to be reusable. They're just generic bits of stuff that you're going to use over and over again. And so, for example, I have a... inside the PCL, I've got one that's basically just interfaces. So I have a navigation service, which is just this generic navigation service, which it's an interface, has three methods on it, and then you can implement it for different platforms. So the I've got one that works with Windows Phone 8 Silverlight that implements these methods. And this is the navigation service for the WinRT thing, so it has the implementation of that. So that's a good candidate for sticking into a PCL. And I've got another one which actually has some other stuff in it just because I can. So just to show you, you can mix and match. It's not really, there's no great, you know, problems with that at all. That's really it. I didn't want to say much more about PCLs. Very valuable and very useful. Okay, now then. Working with these shared code files. So let's dig a bit deeper into the API service and look at what the differences are, where you're going to have some little problems there. So we've got this common WinRT, and it's all the same. I've said it a number of times, it's all the same. Well, yeah, mostly. There's a few rough edges in there. So there's a few, remember the circles that didn't quite converge? So this is the bits that are outside of this. So on Windows 8.1, there's search contract. We don't have that on Windows Phone. Multiple Windows support. Resizable Windows support. So actually, with Windows 8.1 store apps, you can have multiple Windows now. And printing support is an example of that. And on the phone, example of stuff that's phone only, we've got Action Center APIs. So the Action Center is the one where you swipe down from the top, and you can actually got APIs to, you can put notifications in there and you edit them and take them away. The status bar at the top of the screen is phone only, and the back key handling stuff, that's an example of stuff that's going to be phone only. But in addition to that, even where you have got common APIs, you are going to find there are, in a few places, and not many, but there are a few, there are some different behaviors as well. And now this is where an example of all the unified stuff, so it's actually pretty much everything you want to use. So it's a good story. It really is a good story here. All your storage is common, the store stuff, app lifecycle, the launch, suspend, resume, background tasks. This is all the same for WinRT apps. Tiles and notifications, the sensors, networking, localization. It's all good stuff. All of this is completely the same. A few are not completely the same. We've already seen the file open picker. So this is the reason why this change came in. And it was kind of one of the things, obviously, when they were implementing WinRT for Windows Phone, it all had to work. One thing we absolutely determined on for Windows Phone is that apps run well on low-end devices. So a lot of the phones that we're selling have only got 512 megs of RAM, and they might have a 1.2 gig processor or something. We need our apps to really run well on those devices. And the interesting thing about the file open picker, if you like, is that if you've got a Windows 8.1, a tablet app, and you then invoke the file open picker API, it actually, the UI for that, the UI that pops up to allow the user to select the file, is actually, it's not, you don't write that as the app developer. That comes from the API set. It's shell. The shell pops this up. The shell owns this, if you like. and it pops it up. And I think with this one, it does actually go full screen. So you get a full screen. Yeah, it is full screen on Windows 8.1 tablet. So the user selects the picture or something, and then it goes back. But while the user is interacting with that shell UI, on Windows 8.1, your app is still active behind it. Yeah? So as soon as the user's picked the file, it comes back in, and the app reactivates and it carries on with that file. So you just have this nice storage file. File equals await openpicker.pick single file async. And it really just does await, if you like. And then when the file comes back, it just carries on. No problem. On the phone, we can't quite do that because there's a couple of things happen. So on a phone app, which is full screen, of course, when we invoke the file open picker, the shell UI comes up and hides our app. And the user could get a phone call at that point, or a text message comes in, or they might suddenly think, I'm bored with this, and then hit the Windows button, go and do something else. All of which could mean that your app, this model of keeping the app alive in the background, waiting for the response to come back, doesn't work, because we haven't got that sort of memory to play with on a phone. So it means that really, when we invoke the file open picker UI, the shell UI comes up, we've got to suspend the app. Well, the OS has to suspend the app, so our app suspends. So this is just the same as, if a normal suspend. So if the user starts another app or gets a phone call, the app suspends. And, of course, it could be terminated if we get memory pressures, if the user goes away and does a few other tasks before finally coming back to what they were doing, 10 minutes before. So we have the suspend model, and then the app gets reactivated. So in order to support that different usage, we've got a whole new method. So now, file open picker on phone, The only one you have to use is pick single file and continue. And there's a couple of others that are similar. A couple of other APIs do this. The web authentication broker does the same thing. And there's a few others that work this way. So you have these and continue APIs. And then for a few other WinRT, the convergence is very good. It's 90% plus. It's probably more like 95% is converged. But there are just a few areas. In fact, pretty much this one's the only one, actually, where it's just different. And the main one here is the map control. So on Windows Phone 8.1, we've got a very nice, very sophisticated new WinRT map control, which I've been working with just recently and is very powerful, which is the phone. But on big Windows, we've got the Bing Maps control, and they are different. And in fact, the way that they represent geodata, so locations, is different. We've got different classes for that. It's a location class on Windows, and it's a geo point on the phone. Once you get away from that, we're again back into good country. So geofencing and geolocation, they're 100% converged. So all the new geofencing APIs get your location, that's all converged. But the actual presentation bit of it, completely different. So you can actually, in the Jumpstart, we did a sample that shows how you can do a universal app where the map control, the actual presentation is different, but underneath it, you can actually keep the logic the same. So it's a little bit of nimble footwork you have to do there to get that working, but that one is different. But really, that's pretty much the only one. And we are working on, in the next, a future release, we'll converge it, and it'll be a good story. Right, so we've now recognized that there are a few places, let's take a step back. There are a few places now where we need to have platform-specific code. So how do we do that? And we've got HashIf, compiler conditionals, inheritance, and partial classes are three techniques that we can use for that. HashIf is easy. So this is just where you've got code and you have conditionally inclusion. So we've already got Windows has this Windows app conditional, and Windows Phone projects have Windows Phone app. So you get an example here, the hardware back button only needs to be in the Windows Phone version of your shared, shared logic. So you just put a hashif Windows Phone app and then put your logic in it and hash endif. Another technique you can use is just good old-fashioned inheritance. So if you think now, you could put in the shared project, or indeed in a PCL actually, you can put your base class definition, which has common methods, the common properties, that you need on both platforms. But then in your in the platform-specific heads, the projects, you actually have, you create a class that inherits from that base class and extends it with additional methods or overrides methods, if you like, to give yourself the platform-specific behaviors. So it's still the same class, same object, but you give it platform-specific capabilities. That's a nice way of doing it. And you can make your base class abstract, if you like, that forces you to override particular methods and things. And the last one is just partial classes. So partial classes is something that it has turned out to be really valuable for this. And partial classes first came about back in the Windows Forms days, when you used to have this, you know, you'd be working the designer, the usual drag and droppy stuff, and you drop a button onto the form at a certain location, and it magically remembered where that was. But all that it was doing was the designer tools were writing code into a C# file, which it kind of hid from the developer. You could, you know, you kind of occasionally ended up in there, particularly when you had an exception at runtime. You'd drop into this designer-generated code, and it used to have big warnings around it saying, "Don't edit this. This is the designer created this," and you could mess things up. So it was just simply a way of splitting the definition of a class across multiple physical files. So the compiler, it doesn't care. You know, it sees, oh, some of this class is defined in file A over here, and some of it's defined in file B over here, but when it compiles it, it just merges it all together and still compiles it out into one object. So this is a nice way of doing it as well. So you can actually put part of your class in the shared folder, and then other platform-specific bits into the heads. So, you know, here's an example of a base class, data source, which is in your shared folder, but then in your phone project, you have some other folders. So together, when it's compiled, it has two methods, retrieve folders and load folders. Now, not shown here, there'll be another similar partial class for datasource.w8.cs, which would have a different implementation of the load folders. But the result is the same. You still end up with a class that has these methods on it. So that's a real nice way of handling things as well. Now then, let's give you a look at that. How are we doing for time? I have no idea. What time we start? Okay, yeah, we're good. Right, I'll show you this in a minute. Let's just get this up. All right, here we go. So this is the this is the next iteration of this. So remember the back Keith problem that we had? So we've solved that pretty easily. So down in my shared pages, in the fill up page, here we go, we've got, this is obviously shared, so it's going into both of them, but we've got some, ignore that, I'll come back to that in a minute, that's interesting as well. But here in OnNavigator 2, if it's the Windows Phone app, then we wire up a hardware buttons backpressed event handler. And the actual, there it is, that's the actual event handler. And actually, we also have in OnNavigated From, which is only relevant for the phone app, we unwire that as well again. So there we've got something. And here's an interesting thing as well. When you're working with these shared things, the same as I showed you in the designer, the design view, you can actually use this drop-down here to visually see how it looks like on the different platforms. So you've got Windows Phone app one. So now we're looking at what will be compiled for the Windows 8 version of when it goes into the Windows 8 head, and that is what is going to happen when we go into the Windows Phone one. So that's nice. We fixed that problem. What about the camera? Yeah, so that was the car details page. So yeah, here we go. So file open picker, this bit is common, all the configuration. But then if it's a Windows app, we're going to call pick single file async and await it as normal. And then we continue processing down with this method just below. If it's a Windows Phone app, we call pick single file and continue. At that point, this app is going to suspend. And at some point later on, we hope, we're going to get reactivated and the OS will reactivate us with the picked file. So that happens in app.xaml. So now we've got, again, if it's a Windows Phone app, we have this override of the onActivated method. So there's various ways a Windows Phone 8.1 app can get activated. So we have to find out why we've been activated. You know, you could be a share target or a file association target. There's kind of all sorts of ways you can be activated. So if it's a file open picker continuation event args, ignore all this. This is just standard boilerplate start the app up kind of logic. But then this is where it gets interesting. We navigate to back to our car details page. And as soon as we've done that, we get a reference to that page, which is the frame.content, and we set the file picker event of that page. I'm sorry? If we have a... Yes. You can put something in the args. When there is on the when you call it, the pick single file and continue, you can put a kind of a tag in there. So you can identify that and then route to the right place. So if you didn't hear the question, it's like if you've got two pages that could have these file open pickers on, how do you route to the correct page? But yeah, you can just tag it. So then we're setting that file picker event. So if we go back to car details page, at the top of this, here is the file picker property, file picker event property. And in the setter here, well, this is where we first of all do a bit of processing on that file picker event args object that we've just been passed, pick out the file from it, and then we call that same file open picker continuation. So at this point, we've merged back together again, and this is where the logic is going on that's exactly the same, whether it's the Windows 8 or it's the Phone 8 one. So we're all in good shape here. So that's that. So that's the code thing, and that's one way of doing that. What about the XAML then? So we've got two pages we are sharing here. Now, first thing, of course, is just to say this again. Sharing XAML pages is something you can do, but you may not want to. And it's all about what's easiest for you as a developer. And it probably simple pages like the ones I have chosen, yeah, that's probably you could share them. But the kind of landing page, the rich one with all the, you know, the user is really interacting with, that one you probably want to create specifically for each platform. So it's just easier. You could do that with Visual State Manager, and you could have it all in one big XAML file. But to be honest, you want to make life as easy for yourself as possible. So making sure that you're giving a great experience is important. We've got a really great set of controls that help you to do all of that. So this primitive controls, which regardless of which platform you use them on, they look the same, and they are buttons and they are sliders. They're simple, primitive controls. But then we've got more complex ones like the hub, list view, and grid view, where they are kind of more layout controls, and you can use them as a framework for doing something nice on each platform. A hub control, you can have a big landing image on Windows 8.1 and less so on the phone. So they're nice ones for creating different content, but you're still working with the same controls, but they just give you a lot of freedom to design unique experiences. Some of the controls, you program them exactly the same on both, but actually at runtime, when the system renders them, they actually are rendered in a platform-dependent way. So the great example of that is the date picker. So you get on the phone, you get the usual big rotary selectors, whereas on the tablet, it actually renders it as drop-down boxes. Still touch-sensitive, and you can use them with your finger, but that's more appropriate for that kind of layout. And then finally, there's a few that are completely unique. Search box is only on Windows 8.1. The pivot control is only on phone. So there's a few, not many, a few controls there that are actually only make sense on one particular platform or another. But either way you look at it, it's a rich set of controls for doing the kind of stuff that you want. How can you share them? Well, user controls. I haven't shown user controls here. You can share complete XAML pages or user controls. And the one interesting, nice technique for introducing platform-specific differences is to use the Visual State Manager. So you can actually have your page looking slightly different depending on which target it's running on. And at runtime, you have a bit of code like this that just uses the Visual State Manager to switch to the appropriate state. Other techniques, you can have a resource dictionary you stick in each head, give it the same name, custom dictionary.xaml in this case, And even there, you can put platform-specific styles and that sort of thing. And you merge it in, so at runtime, in your merged app.xaml, you just have a bit of XAML like you can see there, where you've got resource-dictionary.merge-dictionaries and it's pointing at a particular XAML, the custom dictionary, and that merges it in. To put that into an example, here we've got a text block on a shared XAML page, which has got a style aside of a called mon text block, whereas the style is declared uniquely in the different resource dictionaries. So on Windows 8, it happens to have a foreground color of deep pink, and on Windows Phone, it has a foreground color of red. I mean, it's a silly example, but you get the idea. Or you can have a whole data template defined, so you get different layouts. And here you can see a photo template on big Windows has a grid with an image and a text block in it, whereas on Windows Phone, it's just got an image. So we've got a smaller template, which makes more sense on the smaller display. So these are nice ways of introducing design differences. And on back in my sample over here, I've used both of those techniques. So actually, over in my Windows 8.1, I've got custom dictionary.xaml, which is a resource dictionary, which has actually absolutely nothing in it. I've got to have one because we've got one in the other project. But this time, hey, I've got that navigation back button normal style that was giving me problems before. I've created a style of that name, which actually, its only purpose is to set the visibility to collapsed. So it can be in the XAML tree, but it's never going to be shown on the phone because we can reference it. And so we can... that XAML I had commented out, we can just bring that back in. It's not going to harm us. And down in the app.xaml, that just gets merged. It merges in that custom dictionary. So the particular platform-specific one will be brought in. So that's nice. Now, the other thing I'd done on this is go to the car details page, open in Blend. And in Blend, we can look at the design of this page and... on the device tab, it allows you to look at the what it would look like on each particular platform. So that's the phone, that's the tablet. Thank you. Well, not the orientation's a bit weird, but there's the phone. But the interesting thing on here is I've created some visual states. So the Windows visual state is exactly the same as the base state. It's just the same, the default unchanged. But the phone visual state, you can actually move things around a bit. So, you know, there's the car details. We can actually reposition it. And these changes in margins and things are only going to apply when this visual state is enabled. So what that looks like in the XAML is down here, you have a block. Here's a visual state manager. So the Windows visual state has nothing in it, no change from the base state, but the phone visual state, we're tweaking various different, you know, margin over here, horizontal alignment, the margin, and the actual different targets that it's being applied to. So this is how it does it. And then in the car details page, we just switch to the appropriate state manager, just in the constructor here. So if we're running on Windows, we're going to use the Windows visual state. If we're running on Windows Phone, we're going to use the Phone visual state. So that's a nice way of doing stuff as well. Right. Lastly, but not least, sharing state. And this is an important topic. So one thing we could really do is, no, it's great having an app that we've created for both platforms, but no good at all to the user if they're not getting that continuous experience. So there are these roaming folders. So we've got three folders where you can stick stuff. The roaming folder, the local folder, and the temp folder. Local folder is just on the device. Temp can be cleaned up and is temporary. But roaming, anything you put into there, goes up to the user's OneDrive, and that's the common storage. And then you can only up to 100K, so don't get excited here. You know, it's only a small amount of data. But you can store the latest searches, their preferences, that kind of thing. Small files. It's not counted against the user's OneDrive quota, but it goes up into the cloud and then gets synchronized to all the user's other personal devices. And it just does that automatically for you. It's really easy to program. There's a settings dictionary, which is just a string-valued dictionary. You just stick stuff in it. There's not even a save method. As soon as it's in, it's being synced up. And it will be shared with all your other devices. Now, this is a string value dictionary. There's one special key called high priority. which is respected on Windows 8.1 and really means sync this just as fast as you can. Everything else is kind of on a I'll do it when I get around to it kind of basis. But actually, that has no effect. You can use that key, obviously, on Windows Phone, but it doesn't actually have any effect on the synchronization priority. Within an app, if you want to know that the roaming data has changed, when a new sync engine has synced down to your device, if your app happens to be running and you've registered for this event, the data changed event, you'll get the event handler will fire. So you can actually refresh your UI. Tips on this, it's not a general purpose sync engine. You know, really you want to use this for preferences or the user's most recent task, or you know, and it's only a small amount of data. So the last writer wins. There's no kind of conflict detection or anything like that. But it is very, very nice for doing this sort of thing. And I've got, if I can remember how to do this demo, an example of this. So my last version of this is, get this up, is a version that has been, uses the roaming folder. Where are we? That one. Here we go. Fuel tracker. You see now, this is the app on here, and over here I've got a Windows device, and they're on the same network allegedly. So here's the device, and I'll run the same app up on here. Fuel saver. Where is it gone? There we go. And there's the car. It's the same, obviously, as the one on Windows. Now, what I'm going to do is just change the car over here, edit the car. I'm just going to change the picture. We'll change it to this guy. So there we go. It's changed. Now, the picture is stored in the roaming folder. Not necessarily a great idea, and all the history is. So I could add a fill-up as well. Now, if you want to force syncing, you want a developer, all you have to do is and just to prove to the moment, the phone hasn't synced yet. All you have to do to force it to sync is to lock your PC. That's it. And that sync engine will actually go off and do its stuff now. And we go back into here, and if we go back to the phone, and it's not showing anymore. That's annoying. What's this app called? Project. That's it. I had a little moment there. Come on. Go on. And unfortunately, this has just stopped working. But anyway, it is. If you look very closely, it is the same. No, maybe you can't see that. You have to trust me. It is the same. It has already synced that to the phone. They're both on the same Wi-Fi network. So obviously, if you're on cellular, it'll take a bit longer. But that's a bit disappointing. But anyway, there we go. You get the idea. So really nice. Very important to keep that nice continuous experience. So in summary, what we looked about was, we did an overview of universal apps. I showed you, went through a stepped example, a bit about sharing strategies or code sharing. Sharing XAML, do it when it makes sense. And finally, the roaming folder, very, very important to have your apps linked like that to give a good continuous experience for your users. Bunch of other sessions that you may be interested in. I'm going to be back here tomorrow after lunch talking about, actually not, I think I'm in Marlborough tomorrow. Talking about general networking stuff. It's a million miles per hour thing through all sorts of Azure mobile services and HTTP and credentials and compression, and yeah, it's all cool stuff. And a little bit about Bluetooth LE. And then there's a good session on Friday on Xamarin, and there's all sorts of interesting good stuff. I'll be at the Hub tonight if anybody wants to come and have a chat to me. And there's plenty of great resources. The two you can go off and MVA, including a particularly exceptional jumpstart on Windows Phone 8.1 on there. Other than that, please give your evaluations. And thank you very much for listening. Thanks very much.